Welcome back to Know Your States, Know Your Community. We're moving on to our next state, the Sooner State. Our 28th most populous state, home to more than 4 million people. The 46th state, one of the 20th century states, inducted into the Union on November 16th, 1907. We're talking today to an Oklahoman named Susan Drinkard. Hi, Susan. Thanks for being on the program.
And it's okay to call me an Okie. Okay. We're okay with that.
Is that a negative term?
It was at one time, but not now. Most people are proud to be called Okies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Okie.
Where are you from within the state of Oklahoma?
Well, my father was in the military, and so I was born in Altus Air Force Base, which is in southwestern Oklahoma. And my parents told me that I was their cheapest baby. The Air Force cost only charged them $5 and a dime. And my mom said that Altus, Oklahoma has the hardest water in the country. But we didn't live there long. I spent most of my time in around Enid, Oklahoma, which is north central, and in Hennessy, which is about 20 miles south of Enid.
Okay. And so this is, what did you say, north central Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Close to Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And what did your folks do? What did your family do?
Well, my dad was in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And so he was trained at Altus Air Force Base. And my mom was a homemaker, five kids. Mm-hmm. And that's where she was from. She was raised on little farms in that part of Oklahoma. And I have a strong heritage from Oklahoma. My great-grandmother was born in an earth berm in the area by Hennessy. She was delivered by an Indian midwife who named her Stella Star Tarrant. And so it's kind of a cool story. And my grandfather and grandmother, you know, they lived through the Dust Bowl there. And it certainly informed the rest of their lives as far as what they kept.
Sure.
And, you know, how they lived. There are always rolls of baling wire in the yard.
Yeah. How do you define an earth berm? Or inside?
Oh, a cave.
Yeah, in a
cave.
Cave.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's kind of what I pictured.
They were really, really poor.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
They're, yeah.
Huh.
What's the geography like around Enid, Oklahoma?
It's flat. There are very, very beautiful parts of Oklahoma, and it has every kind of terrain. There's mountains, there's even desert, but that area is kind of scrub brush and it's very, very flat. You have to appreciate the sky if you live in Oklahoma, because there's and that's what they're very proud of. You know, yes, we look up.
Now, is Enid in Tornado Alley?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Did you ever experience a tornado?
Yeah, our house was torn up in Enid one time, and we had gotten the warning, and we were members of the First Baptist Church of Enid, Oklahoma, and we went down there because it was a shelter. It's about
the basement?
Yes. And
okay.
When we went home, the house was pretty much a mess, and insurance covered it, though. But yeah, it was frightening at times because, you know, everybody has a cellar there, most everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you open the cellar door, there's usually a snake in there. And it is something you have to contend with in Oklahoma.
Tornado rapidly approaching, snake in the cellar.
Right.
Which way are we going to go?
Yeah.
How old were you when you experienced the tornado?
I was in the fourth grade.
Oh, wow. I bet you that just scarred in your memory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely. I mean, we had so many close calls out there in Hennessy. We'd watch them, you know. And in that movie, the first Twister movie from mm-hmm, 2004, mm-hmm. I have a relative in that movie. It's on the tractor driving down the road, going after watching a a tornado.
So you would actually watch the actual funnel cloud?
Oh, yeah.
Come down?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
there was, set out the lawn chairs, yeah. Pour some lemonade.
Uh-huh. It's sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
Yeah.
Pour out the sweet tea. And
Yikes. That's frightening. I mean, to me. I lived in the northern end of the... We lived in an area where you could get tornadoes. I never actually saw a funnel cloud. But I heard the sirens a couple times. Go hide in the basement. Nothing ever happened, but it was that was enough. I can't imagine actually seeing one.
Oh yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine that's what one does between the tornado and the snake in the cellar.
Yeah.
You know, just pull out the lawn chairs before. Any water in the area of Enid, like a creek or a river or...
there's some water, but I mostly remember swimming in the creeks around Turkey Creek, around Hennessy. And at that time, I don't think there was a lot of parental hovering or grandparent hovering, because we would swim in these creeks where there were big snakes, and it was just part of it, you know. And then we'd go back, and Grandma would have to kill a chicken if we wanted to have dinner, and you know, help her with that process. Mm-hmm, and this is very early on in the day, you know, back in the day. I'm 69, so I've been around a while.
How large was Enid when you were growing up? How many people would you guess?
Now there's about 51,000.
Good size.
Yeah, it's a good size. And it was a railroad hub. Lots of all kinds of railroads at that time.
Is it a cattle area, or is it... I was going to say farming, but when I think of Oklahoma, I think of the Dust Bowl.
Right.
So what the railroads would come through for...
Right, but the main thing to note about Enid is it has the third largest granaries in the world. They keep our wheat. Our country's wheat is in Oklahoma, in Enid. And so they're really a sight to see. They're so big. But I do recall, you know, that my grandfather was a bricklayer, and he learned bricklaying in the WPA, and he taught all his sons to lay brick. And so he had Tarrant Masonry, and it's still going today.
Mm.
And I do recall when my grandpa and my uncles would come home for lunch there in Enid, my grandma made a big meal every day. Like, she'd fry up pork chops, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and corn. And we always had a Tupperware glass full of scallions, which we thought everyone did. I always thought everyone did everywhere, right? You know, you have green onions on your table.
And you
eat them. And also sliced tomatoes at every meal.
Okay.
And so she would serve it up, and then I would help clean up. And then there must have been a mark of some kind on her on the fence, because we had hobos come in the afternoon after the men had go back to work. And they would come to the door, and they were just one at a time. Mm-hmm. And my grandma had, you know, she had propriety, and she didn't go outside. She had me serve them outside, and gave them lots and lots of food with sweet tea. And it was I don't know if anybody even knows she did that. You know, I never talked to my relatives about that. She just...
She just did it.
Yeah, she was a kind-hearted woman. And so that... that weighs heavily in my mind.
Well, a lot of family memories.
Yeah, lots of family
tied
memories.
Tied to the geography. What was winter like in Enid?
It's very cold. Sandpoint has 145 days of sun a year, which is not that many. Enid has 245, so I have a lot of sunshine, and that makes it really nice. However, there's a lot of wind coming over the plains, so that makes it bitterly cold, and they have a lot of ice storms.
Isn't that from the song Oklahoma, the wind sweeps across the prairies?
And waving wheat.
There you go.
Yeah, we're really proud of that musical.
How many days of sun did you say Sandpoint gets every year?
Well, I looked it up at 145, which is...
Less than half.
Less than half, which is pretty discouraging if you think about it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is, now I'm rethinking things. Oklahoma's starting to sound okay.
One thing about Oklahoma is that it is, next to West Virginia, it's the most inexpensive place to live in the country.
Oh.
You can buy a 3-bedroom brick house with a swimming pool for $350,000.
Yeah.
So it's very different from here.
Before we go too much further, we have, of course, here in town, an old grain silo. There's a granary in Sandpoint, no longer in operation. But what is the granary like in Enid? How does that... What's the situation? Do we have any idea what the scale is?
I don't, but it's massive. It's blocks and blocks and blocks of granaries. You know, it's just down there, it's just normal. So, but I couldn't say exactly.
And Enid's a railroad town too, like Sandpoint is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the, let's see, did you travel around much within Oklahoma?
Yeah, my aunt lived in Tulsa, so we would go there, and I do remember being flooded there. I was visiting there and with my cousins, and the water got up pretty high, but it didn't float us away. I mean, the cars were pretty saturated, but that's what I mostly recall about Tulsa at that time. Mm. But it's like Jim was saying earlier, it's a very wonderful place. It's a hidden gem.
We were having a conversation before we recorded that I discovered Tulsa around 4 years ago. And what a gem. And in terms of you were mentioning the geography of the state. When I flew in, I was surprised at the rolling tree-covered hills around Tulsa.
Right.
I thought I was elsewhere, but not if you told me Oklahoma, I would not have known that.
I know. It's surprising. Yeah, my parents were, my dad, he was in the military, but he was always a pastor somewhere. And they came up here. My dad was a pastor of the First Baptist Church of Bonner's Ferry for quite a while. And they had some mission churches, and then they moved back down to Oklahoma, because my mom gets to where her home is.
Her roots are.
Yeah. And so they became missionaries at a church camp in eastern Oklahoma, and it's full of trees and forest, and is beautiful there. Mm-hmm. So,
As opposed to, when I think of Oklahoma, I love folk music. I think of Woody Guthrie, the Dust Bowl.
Mm. Yeah.
And so coming into Tulsa, and I'm sure eastern parts of Oklahoma, what a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a little of everything. I always thought that the town of Guthrie was named after Woody Guthrie, but it wasn't.
No, it's not. It's not.
I know. So disappointing. Yeah.
It should have been, though. It should have had a renaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if listeners ever get a chance to go to Oklahoma, I think that the Woody Guthrie Museum and the Bob Dylan Museum, they're in the same building, aren't they, Jim?
They're right next door to another. You buy a ticket to one, you get into the other
in Tulsa.
And let me tell you, it's worth going back and visiting every time you get down to Tulsa. There's always something new. There's a new exhibit.
Yeah.
What a wonderful location for history, culture, and just particularly music, folk music.
Yeah. Right.
How about, do you ever get to Oklahoma City, the largest city.
What's it called? What's it called?
Oh, it's, yeah, in Oklahoma, they call it the city.
The city.
Yeah,
city.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's my relatives there that are in Hennessy. That's where they go for doctors and shopping when they need to do serious shopping, you know, just like our Spokane. Mm-hmm. But I don't recall that much about the city. I do know that my grandpa and my uncles, they bricked half of Oklahoma. So they did have jobs over there. You know, brick's a big deal there because there's not a lot of wood. So homes are made of brick. And
Okay. Oklahoma is, what do you, what is Oklahoma known for? What do you think?
I think it's known for the Chisholm Trail, for the Sooners, the, you know, they rushed the land for the, during the land rush in 1889.
This is what a Sooner is?
Yeah, they jumped the gun. The ones that went too soon.
Uh-huh. The Sooners.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think Oklahoma's known for oil.
Yes, sure.
Yeah. So that is, in fact, I had an uncle that discovered oil, and he did really well. I am not sure how people view it outside of Oklahoma. I know there's a bit of a rivalry between Texas and Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And I lived in both places, and Oklahoma is better.
There's no bias there.
There's no bias there at all.
Yeah. Just a true statement. Now, do you still have relatives in Enid?
Yeah, I do. I have my Uncle Lorne. He's a bricklayer, retired. He was on the cover of Field and Stream once. He is a bow hunter, and he's got a whole huge barn full of taxidermied animals he's shot. Mm-hmm. And they live on five acres outside of Hennessy. I had a kind of famous Uncle Tom Tarrant. He set world records at the Sooner Raceway out there in Enid. He drove a 63, the Shelby Cobra.
Ignore that.
Mm-hmm. And the Shelby Cobra was really fast. It's now retired to a car museum in Ohio. But he set lots of world records, and he had so many trophies that he built a house just for his trophies. He had a big trophy room, and then he quit accepting the trophies because he didn't want them anymore. But what's funny about one of his cars, I don't know if this is radio appropriate, but he had an old Plymouth that had an engine, a 426 wedge engine, and he named it after the family business, the Mortar Forker.
Oh, what fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
What was his name?
Tom Tarrant.
Okay, yeah. We'll have to look him up.
Yeah.
See what his records were.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you get back to Enid?
The last time I went, actually, I think it was about 2.5 years ago, and I have an aunt, two aunts, and an uncle left of the seven kids that were in my mom's family. There's actually two left, and then, you know, the married relatives. So, and my mom is buried in Hennessy, and my brother's buried in Hennessy. So there's a big part of me that likes to get back there so I can visit my grandparents' graves and my mom's grave. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I was just wondering, when you go back, what do you notice in terms of, you know, when you move away from where your roots are and growing up, you think one way and then you get back and you go, whoa, those greeneries were not that tall, were they? You know what I mean? How your mind as a child. So when you go back to Enid, what do you, anything surprises you?
Well, when I went to my grandparents' house, in Hennessy, it was tiny. I thought it was really big, you know, and I thought that, yeah, everything is smaller. So that's definitely, it strikes you, mm-hmm. you know. But I think Enid has grown a lot, and it's always had Phillips University there, and that is one reason it exists, you know.
It's because of the university and everything that a university brings to
it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are social problems, though, that do exist there that are a lot of towns are facing with methamphetamine and fentanyl overdoses. Mm-hmm. And that's really plentiful for some reason there. But I think one thing that I recall was just the emphasis on certain events, like Memorial Day is a huge thing in Oklahoma, where it wasn't in other places we lived. People go and decorate graves, and it's called Decoration Day, and you honor your ancestors. And it's a special day. And so that's one thing that is different.
Is unique?
Yeah, I think so.
Is unique with Oklahoma?
Well,
it could happen elsewhere, but not
I think it does.
Yeah.
I just know that everyone, when you went to the graveyards, they were just beautifully decorated. Yeah, so.
Well, Susan, anything else that we have? What would you like us to have asked you about Oklahoma?
Let's see. Well, I think I've pretty much covered it. As you can tell, most of my memories are around my relatives, which are just, they were very colorful people. And the language is so different from anywhere else. I mean, my uncle cannot talk without saying something like, well, he does know sick him from sit, you know? That's the way they talk. Mm-hmm, and everything is a conversation piece, and, you know, and he was having a hissy fit, and just the whole, I guess they're colloquialisms, and just Okie jargon is very different from other parts of the country, or at least that's my experience.
Well, I have to admit that as a child growing up, I loved to look at maps.
Yeah.
And I'd look at the map of Oklahoma, and as I've said before, with many of the states, I'd love to know the history and the story, because I sure as heck don't know how they got formed. But I just want to pick up that panhandle of Oklahoma and swing it around. You know what I mean? That I'm sure there's a story why Texas Panhandle didn't just shove it up right up to Kansas and Colorado. But what a fun state. You certainly have shared with us many wonderful memories.
Oh, thank you.
And made Oklahoma come alive.
Oh, good.
Thank you so much.
Well, and thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being a good Okie.
Thank you, Susan.
I appreciate that.